welcome to Unstuck, the podcast for solo business owners who want things to feel better. I'm Libby Langley, business coach, author, and your honest voice of reason when business starts to feel a bit messy. Each week, I help you get unstuck from whatever's holding you back, whether that's overwhelm, overthinking, or offers that just don't quite work, so you can build a business that actually works for you. Here's this week's episode. Ever wondered if you are too niche? And the more you specify what you do and who you work with, you're going to cut so many people out that you're going to scare people off if you're too specific. Maybe that you'll niche down so far that there'll be nobody left to sell to. Okay, that's what we're talking about in today's episode of Unstuck. We're talking about niching and why you're not too niche. You're probably not niche enough. Let me explain. So the kind of uncomfortable truth of all this is that it's not that your niche is too narrow. It's that your niche is not narrow enough, right? It's a really horrible thing to say because like there's a real fear around specificity and narrowing down and being more focused because so many of us can help so many people. Right? You know, but that's different to what you publicly put out there. Just that's kind of the difference, right? So what you publicly put out there is your marketing. Yeah, that's the stuff that attracts people to you. That's the stuff that people see or don't see, but that's allows them to self-select and to decide if they want to connect with you, work with you, I don't know, invite you to collaborate on something, whatever it is, right? But this fear of niching down is the thing that keeps so many business owners stuck. It leads to things like vague messaging, bloated offers, you know, too much. Oh, and I chuck all this in because I can do all this, and marketing that doesn't never quite lands. And that obviously means that there are fewer leads, fewer clients, less money, and a whole world of extra shit that you don't want. So Unstuck today with me, Libby Langley. Hi. I'm going to break down why specificity is the thing that unlocks ease and it gives confidence and it creates consistent sales. It does not restrict them, right? So why do you have a fear of niching? Really, it kind of boils down to a few things. Not wanting to exclude anyone. And I think that that's a really valid point, right? Because you've probably been doing what you've been doing for a while and you've got tons of experience and loads of knowledge and you know that you can help a wide variety of people. And with a wide variety of things. And that's the point, because there's different kinds of niching, right? You can niche on what you do on, or you can niche on who you do it with, okay? But if you don't want to exclude anyone, it's just, I don't know. I mean, can you really be an expert at 20 different things with 20 different segment groups? So that's what, 20 to the power of 20? I can't even do that. 4,000? 400? Anyway, that's loads of, it's too many, right? It's too many for me to be able to do the mental arithmetic on. But it's knowing that you can help lots of people. And I am absolutely in this category, right? I've worked with nearly 7,000 people in the 14 years that I've been in business. And two of those people have been the same with exactly the same business. Yes, they might have been in similar industries, some of them. Yes, a lot of them are midlife women, possibly neurodivergent. You know, there's lots of categories that people fit into, but they're all really, really different. So the niching has to be the way that I help people. You like your own USP, if that makes sense. So, you know, I'm very straightforward. I'm very singular. I'm very focused. I'm very kind of no nonsense and straight to the point. And that's a niche, right? That's my niche, me. So if that's for you, great. And if that's not for you, then you go with someone who's softer, who works differently, all of these things. Not to say that I'm like a hard-ass bitch or anything, but, you know, there's different delivery styles, right? And those can be kind of part of your personal niche, your personal branding too. But if you don't own any of these things, claim them, you know, like go, yes, this is me, that embrace them, then it is just all really, really woolly. And if you write in one tone for one thing and another tone for another, and it's like, I do not know who I am getting and what they're going to do. And that, yeah, that's really hard. And as we all know, confused people do not buy. So if you can help lots of people, doesn't mean that you have to. Just means, well, there's a very strange noise behind me then. Doesn't mean that you have to. And so just because you can help lots of people, what it really means is that you've got a grounding, a really solid grounding to be able to offer broad experience, but that isn't your marketing shtick, right? So if how that kind of can manifest into a fear of niching too much is that you think, you know, but I need more leads, not fewer leads. Therefore, the more things I talk about, the more I'm going to get in. And that's not true. And that's not to say that you can't be a multifaceted business donor, right? It's not to say you can't have loads of short courses or lots of books or something like that. But they all have to help on a certain theme or a certain type of person, such as solo, midlife, possibly neurodivergent business women. You know, that is a niche in itself. And yes, you can go way deeper with that, what you help with. But, you know, do you understand what I mean? It's not necessarily about limiting yourself in what you're doing. It's actually about expanding what you do in terms of making it better and making it just easier for people to understand. What it is, do you know, I'm going to call it out, right? I think it's FOMO. I really think it's FOMO. Because there are so many things that we can do and so many people we can help. And when we see other people doing things that we could also do, it's like, well, hold on a minute, I could do that. So I'm going to do that. No, but you don't need to. You can just do that. You know, when your clients come in, particularly if you are in a coaching space, right? I know there's quite a few coaches who listen to this. Hello, my fellow coaches. So if you're in a coaching space, once someone's in, the conversations can go wherever you need them to go, right? And that's when a broad experience is absolutely brilliant. But saying, I can help you with loads of things, just, you know, trust me and come talk to me, is quite unlikely to get you too many clients, okay? They would have to meet you and all this stuff first. So, but it is FOMO. It's like, I can do that. I used to do that. I can do that again. I've done that before. That can't be too hard. I watched a YouTube video about that. I can do that. And yeah, it's, you have to know when something stops being something that you really, really want to do and becomes a bit ego driven, right? Particularly if you're neurodivergent, you know, us autistic ADHDers, we know a lot of stuff. We can pick stuff up really quickly. Doesn't necessarily mean that we should then go out and support everybody with it all. Yeah. Know when it's time to stop, I guess, is kind of the thing there. And know when it's FOMO and know when it's ego. So what happens when you actually niche properly? The big difference is in your messaging, right? It becomes really sharp. It becomes really focused. And I know this is my weak spot, right? I know it is. And I can create stuff until the cows come home. I can help people with loads of things. But getting that across is where it all falls down. So unless you have this specificity and you really talk to like a particular feeling or emotion or thing that you solve, thing that you deliver, the messaging becomes kind of woolly. So when you niche, your messaging becomes way sharper, which means more people will know that you are for them or not, right? It allows people to self-select faster. Self-selection is really important. So it means that when you send out your emails or create your podcast or put something on social media, people can instantly go, ooh, what's this? Or scroll by, nah, delete, unsubscribe, whatever, right? And that can be right down to something as simple as the way that you talk. We make decisions based on all sorts of things, some completely subconsciously, right? And that's all part of the package, our package as a, you know, as a person, as a service provider, right? That's all part of our package. And that's fine. And a lot of stuff you can't change, and why would you want to, right? You're not going to go to, I don't know, elocution lessons or anything just to be, try and be someone different. You know, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about honing in on the something that's really specific. And this, and also, sorry, just to say that you stop tweaking your offers every 5 minutes. Again, oh my goodness. So the other day I had been told by my web developer that my website was, I can't remember, massive, right? Full of, because of all the media files on it, massive. And I don't know how many times the normal average for a business like mine, but multiple times. So, which is a bit weird because I have a relatively straightforward site. You know, there's a homepage, there's an about me, there's a page about my Unstuck Sanctuary, there's a page about this podcast, there's some testimonials, and like a contact me. There's not much on the website because you don't need, I don't need any more than that. So I'm like, why is it so massive? And when I was going through and deleting 800 or 900 of these media files, it's because I changed things so often, right? There were probably five or six different ways I pack programs where I delivered my coaching support, always to solo business owners and always helping with mindset and strategy and, you know, overcoming fears and talking things through, all of that, but under so many different banners and different branding. You know, it was orange, then it was pink, then it was purple, then it back to being orange again, orange now. And it's just like, what is this? Changing the podcast graphics, you know, two different names for this podcast because it used to be called Life of Business, been called Unstuck for quite a while now. And my Unstuck Sanctuary, that was Confidence to Grow, then it became the Unstuck Community, and now it's the Unstuck Sanctuary, which it is staying as because it's a really good name and it really describes it as its sanctuary and safe space for respite and relief for small business owners. But, you know, when you niche and you get really comfortable in that, then you get to stop tweaking and just stick with it. And I'll do an episode next week about the boredom that, I'm going to write that down so I remember, but the boredom that that can bring, the boredom of consistency, because that is not a side track I am going to go down right now, but boredom of consistency, right? So listen up for that next week. But when you niche, you're able to stop changing your offers every 5 minutes. And oh my God, the amount of time and headspace that saves, let me tell you. It's like, no, this is what I do. Yep, still doing it. You were doing that 3 weeks ago. Yeah, still doing it now. Yay me. And it just makes it much easier again for people to know what you're famous for. You know, famous for. But the it's funny, it really stuck with me. Something that we talked about in my Unstuck Unstuck Sanctuary a few weeks ago was that somebody mentioned about a chip in scent, a tarot reading, and it happened to mention her name in it and all of this. And we talked about how, not about the woo side of it, because it wasn't about whether you believe it or not, but about how it really spoke to her, right? Coincidentally, arguably. But, and I looked into this person, looked into this link, and it's YouTube, a really big YouTube account that just does tarot readings for Librans. And it's like, whoa, that's really niche, really specific. What about all the other star signs, which honestly, I don't think I could name them all. I know Libra because I'm a Virgo, so it's the one that comes after me. But it's, I don't know what star sign my husband is. Isn't that terrible? I've been... Well, it's not, because anyway, sidetracked, doesn't matter. But the you know, tarot readings for Librans on YouTube, and there's loads of free stuff. But then if you want something deeper, you pay a subscription. Such a simple business model, right? But talk about niching, yeah? So you can do, if you're a coach, for example, then you can just do coaching for social media managers or coaching for email marketers, or coaching for podiatrists, yeah? You can pick whatever you want. You could be, if you're a podiatrist, you could just be a podiatrist for women, for younger people who have, I don't know, skeletal issues, or for older people. You can choose who you like to work with and what you want to work with them on. And the absolute beauty of that is it allows you to absolutely stand out there in crowded spaces. We're all in crowded spaces, right? But it allows you to attract raving fans as well and create this real, like, community buzz, community group of people who are like, oh, she gets me. She's literally talking to me. And it doesn't matter if that niche that you carve out is 1,000 people in the world, or, you know, or more. I would imagine it's considerably more. Because how many people can you actually work with? If you're a service provider, then there's a limit, right? That might be 5 new people a month. That might be 20 new people a month. It might be 50 new people a month. But it's not millions, and therefore excluding the people who, do you know what? Yeah, no, they're not really my ideal client anyway, but, you know, I could help them, just makes commercial sense as well as making mental headspace sense, right? And what it does is it makes selling easier. And selling is hard, right? 2025 is a weird year. Things are much more difficult, cost of living, political horribleness that's coming from our lovely friends across the pond. And, you know, on all this unrest in this country, in the UK, it's a funny year, 2025. But that shouldn't distract you from really being focused in your lane and what you do and what you're passionate about, right? If anything, people need you more. People need me more this year. I openly own that, and I'm not afraid to big myself up to say that, right? You know, providing a sanctuary, a safe space where you can come and go, I'm frightened of the world at the moment and it's impacting my business, and get answers and solutions and support and understanding, but a way to move forward, get relief from the way you're feeling and the resilience to continue with what you love doing. It's priceless. Well, it's not. I mean, there is a price on it, obviously. Okay, it's a couple of grand. You can come join us in the Unstuck Sanctuary. But, you know, that level of relief and the resilience it gives is priceless, right? And so don't be afraid to claim your small space. Don't be afraid to really talk about and to what you support with, right? So niche doesn't mean small. Absolutely not. Because small, I mean, small is great, right? Small is perfectly formed and all of that. But small in terms of turnover isn't necessarily what we want. We want comfortable and above, okay? Which can be defined in any way you like, but small. But niche doesn't mean small. It means focused. It means memorable. It means intentional. And those are such good words to describe it, you know? Broad offers become invisible, but specific ones will stick. They're the ones that everyone's going to remember. I'm going to be talking about this woman who does tarot readings for Librans for years to come, because it is such a specific niche. And I can still remember from when I first started talking, teaching all that about marketing, when would I have done it? I think before even I started my business, maybe 2010 or so, there was a company on YouTube, I assume still exists, an account on YouTube called Will It Blend? And the company was Blend Tech, and they made blenders, right? It's not interesting or exciting. They made blenders. But Will It Blend was this series that they did. And they got the MD. What was his name? Tom. Can't remember his last name. No, that's going to annoy me. Can't remember his last name. And he was rubbish on camera, right? Really terrible. It's like they'd wheeled him out of a cupboard and they put him in a lab coat, and he would say, oh, you folks on YouTube, you've asked me to blend this. And he would put these things in the blender, and it was always quite funny. And I remember there was a Justin Bieber CD, there was an iPhone, and he took the lid off and it was all steaming. And he said, oh, you know, don't breathe the eye smoke. And it was just quite funny, really short videos. And it built so much traction. And what was great about it was by being really specific in that we make blenders that will blend anything. Yeah. It wasn't really about the food, because if it can blend an iPhone, it's sure as damn it going to make a decent smoothie, okay? So, but it was about sort of the indestructibility of it, I suppose, and the humour, the personality of the business. So that was absolutely their niche. And there, when they started doing these videos, their sales increased by something like 600%. Absolutely insane, by choosing this tone of voice, choosing this comedic niche. And I think it makes a really, really big difference doing that. And I say that's something that I used to talk about when I absolutely first started talking about marketing, all those 15 plus years ago. And I've remembered it because of its specificity. So you want people to remember you in the same way. You want people to be quoting you in years to come. Tell me what your absolute specific niche is and I will quote you for years to come, because I think it's great. And I think it's really brave and really bold. And yeah, it's also my biggest struggle. It's absolutely my biggest struggle because I am a jack of all trades. I can help you with almost anything that you need in your business. So I'm going to listen back to this episode too, right? But it doesn't mean I can't help you. And I think the big money comes from small markets that when, you know, the small markets, the small target group that really thinks, do you know what? Finally, someone understands me. And that's when you start talking to the individuals and it's much more powerful. But resisting getting more specific, why do you do it? Is it FOMO? For you? Is it fear of not being good enough at one thing? Is it people pleasing? You want to help everybody? Or is it something else? I would love to know. Tell me, send me a DM or send me an email and tell me what it is for you. Or share this, screenshot this and share it on your stories or something and share it. Ooh, share it with your audience too. That would be a good one. So ask yourself, what is the easiest niche for me to commit to for just 6 months? Sure as damn it, if I can do it for 6 months, you can do it for 6 months, right? Let's make that challenge. Let's make that commitment right here, right now. I'm not going to rebrand anything once I've completed this, all the bits of this current rebrand. That's it. I'm done. I'm sticking with it. I don't care. It's just going to be like that forever. And actually, the way I'm future-proofing my own brain is by creating an absolute ton of content that just goes out. So I'm not doing it on the, you know, on the hoof, and therefore I'm not going to change my mind because it will already be done when I'm in the moment. So note to you there, that's a top tip. You can do that. But right, your niche isn't your problem. Your fear of commitment is. The more specific you get, the more visible and valuable you become. Truth. Vague offers are exhausting to run. Because it's like, oh, well, it does this and it does this and yeah, it does that too. And it's just like, oh my God, I don't know what it is. Even you don't know what it is. You kind of lose yourself in it all. But specific offers, they're easier to market, easier to sell and way easier to enjoy because you just know what you're supposed to be doing and everyone knows why they're there. It's great. If this episode gave you a gentle nudge in the right direction, make sure you follow me. Make sure you follow this podcast wherever you are consuming this podcast. Because every week I share with you different things that might be bothering you, different things that might be keeping you stuck, and I give you a reframe and a way to move forward from that. And that's, you know, that's pretty good, right? I think that's a fair trade for your time. So, and if you want to come work with me, obviously, then my Unstuck Sanctuary is available for you. Just message me or go to my website, libbylangley.com. You will find everything that you need. So next week, I'm going to do an episode for you about the boredom of consistency. Oh my God, I'm going to go wild. Because yeah, the lived experience of that one is really something. All right. Thanks for listening. I've been Libby Langley. This is the Unstuck podcast. I'll see you next week. Lots of love. Bye. Thanks for listening to Unstuck. Make sure you follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed today's show, I'd love it if you left a review. It really helps more solo business owners find the podcast and reminds them they're not alone. Want to chat about this episode or suggest a future topic? You'll find me on Instagram at Libby Langley. See you next week.